Sick and tired of hearing things from uptight, short-sighted, narrow-minded hypocrites. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl.
Last week, you heard Professor Mark Crispin Miller's presentation from the online conference called Deep Truth, Visionaries Speak Out, which evolved from being banned at the Left Forum in New York City. Both Mark and Ray McGovern, who you'll hear today, were on the same panel called Mockingbird 2.0, Propaganda, Fake News, and Censorship. The title Mockingbird, as I'm sure most of you may know, is in reference to Operation Mockingbird, the 1950s program of the CIA, whose goal was to infiltrate the media and control it. Both Mark Crispin Miller and Ray McGovern also know that we've been lied to about 9/11. The controlled media is why so many Americans have believed the official story of 9/11 for so long, when there are mountains of evidence disproving it. But it's all evidence that to this point, nearly 17 years later now, the corporate so-called mainstream media won't touch the challenging facts about 9/11. And 9/11 isn't the only thing that we're being lied to about. Today, Ray McGovern will be talking about fake news, Russiagate, and the deep state. Ray McGovern is a former CIA analyst and Russia expert. He has advised several U.S. presidents in the presidential daily briefings. After retiring, he became a peace activist, and actually the West Hartford Citizens for Peace and Justice had him speak at the West Hartford Town Hall when the Bush administration was taking us to war in Iraq, based on more lies. Ray McGovern is also part of a group called Intelligence Professionals for Sanity. The clip you're about to hear is lightly edited to fit time constraints. So let's begin. Here he is, Ray McGovern.
I want to give inordinate thanks to Mark for his wisdom and his scholarship. He talked a little bit about JFK. That was where, as far as I know, the notion of a conspiracy theory really originated. It was Alan Dulles, who was head of the CIA, and in my view, the mastermind behind the JFK assassination, who got himself appointed a member of the Warren Commission, and pretty much ruled what would happen, who came and were interviewed and that kind of thing. And when somebody said, as the people that Mark just mentioned said, wait a second now, Alan Dulles, he's part of the CIA. The CIA is one of the suspects here. What's going on here? And what did Alan Dulles say? Conspiracy theory. That's a conspiracy theory. Conspiracy theory. And it took hold. Now we hear it all the time. You know, if you fast forward just halfway to today, to the day of Ronald Reagan, where he put in arch cold warrior William Casey as head of the CIA and Bobby Gates as his deputy. The first thing that Casey said to the cabinet, it was a meeting on February something, 1981, and Barbara Honegger, who's going to be with you tomorrow, told this story because she was there. And I took some notes here from memory, but I think what Bill Casey is quoted as having said by Barbara is this: we'll know when our disinformation program is successful. And that's when it's complete, when everyone, every American believes what we want them to believe. Whoa. Now, fast forward to what I'm going to talk about here, Russiagate. Well, most Americans believe what the New York Times and the deep state want them to believe. But before I leave JFK, John Kennedy is the reason I'm here, the reason I came down to Washington 55 years ago. Before I leave that, I need to simply point out that we don't know what we should know because of the deep state. Now, what do I mean? Well, I remember Trump getting up, I think it was last October, last fall, he said, we're going to release all the materials now on the JFK assassination. He said that in the morning. And in the afternoon, he said, oops, sorry, the FBI and the CIA won't let me. That's what he said. The FBI and the CIA object. And I remember thinking, well, he said, you know, in 6 months, we'll revisit that. So I made a mental note, 6 months, it seemed to be April around there. Have you seen anything? Has the press even mentioned that promise? So it's really is stacked against us. Now, I would like to start because today is June 8th. Something terrible happened on June 8th, and I supplied a little photo that will remind people what it was that happened. It's a photo of the USS Liberty, which was attacked by Israeli warplanes deliberately, torpedo boats, with the intent of killing everyone on the ship and sinking the ship. That happened on June 8th, 1967. It's something that I would like to just take a brief moment of silence just to remember the 34 sailors and Marines who were killed on that ship, the 174 crew who were badly wounded out of a crew of about 280, and their relatives. I was with three survivors this afternoon at the Navy Memorial here in Washington. It's still very, very hard for them to realize that not only were they shot up by our ally deliberately, and the intelligence is exquisite on this, but that it was covered up by our government, by our Congress, and to their great shame, by the United States Navy. Okay, I'm going to talk a little bit about Russiagate. And maybe we ought to start with the tangible evidence here, the emails that were stolen from the Democratic National Committee. Now, how do we know that that was going on? Well, on June 12th, 2016, Julian Assange announced, "I have emails relating to Hillary Clinton, and they are about to be published." So remember, June 12th, 2016. Whoa, that was just 6 weeks before the Democratic National Convention. So in my mind's eye, I see Hillary Clinton sitting around her table with all those really bright people she had and saying, "My God, what are we going to do? What do you mean, what are we going to do? Well, you know, if they have the email, they'll show that we stole a nomination from Bernie Sanders. It's clear as a bell. Oh, my God, what are we going to do?" And somebody says, "Well, I got it. We'll blame the Russians." Somebody else said, "Well, it wasn't the Russians. It was Julian Assange, WikiLeaks. That's okay. That'll be a twofer. We don't like him either. So we'll say that the Russians hacked and they gave it to Julian Assange." Yes, we'll say. Hillary looks around the table and she says, "Anybody got any better idea?" Nobody did. And so they were off and running. Now, they didn't know when Julian was going to release these, neither did he. He typically looks at these things and makes sure that nothing really damaging will be included. And then he orders them in a way that people can search them. So it took him to the 22nd of July, so 6 weeks after he announced, to release them. Oh my God, that was just 3 days now. Not 6 weeks, just 3 days before the Democratic National Convention. Well, actually, the Democratic National Committee had been prepared. And you know that movie or that book called Magnificent Obsession? They launched a magnificent diversion. Why did the Russians hack into the DNC? Why did they do that? New York Times, Washington Post, nobody paid any attention to what was in the emails. Neither did Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders he acted like, you know, Burr Fox. He didn't say nothing, right? That should have been an open convention. Now, I don't know politics very much in this country, but my God, there it was, proof positive of what had happened to him. So how do I know all this? Well, it's very clear, you know, after all this went down, people start talking and they're bragging. And Hillary's PR person, a woman named Jennifer Palmieri, she came to the Clinton Podesta think tank here we have in Washington. And she had bragged in the Washington Post about diverting attention to the Russians having done it. And she explained that when the emails came out in June of 2016, she was sent around in a golf cart to all the outlets, TV, other outlets, to push this story. And this is what she says. See if I can find it here. Well, I know what she said. She said, you know, this is really hard sell. It was saying that the Russians really preferred Trump, and they did everything they could to sabotage Hillary's campaign. And we had found out hard to believe ourselves, she says. Okay. And it wasn't until we got back to Brooklyn, says Palmieri, that intelligence people And journalists involved with intelligence began to give us the information, and then we were off and running. And then every now and then, Obama would ratify or he'd corroborate this information. And then, of course, we had it going, right? Now, let me just make one slight diversion. I can't avoid mentioning that I came down to this town as a Russian expert, and I still consider myself something of a Russian expert. I spent 55 years homing in on Russian leaders, okay? Soviet leaders, Russian leaders. Now, here's Putin, in my view, watching the campaign in 2016. Oh, my God, this Trump, what a character. He's unpredictable. He brags about being unpredictable. He lashes out at the slightest affront or even slight. Oh, this is going to be such fun to have such a guy with his fingers on the nuclear codes. This is going to be really fun. Just what I want across the ocean. Do everything you can to help him win. Oh, God, you know, it just doesn't parse if you have any concept of what a Russian leader considers to be the most important thing in an American leader, and that is predictability, okay? And you can understand that. I think Putin very much wants his country not to be zapped by some nuclear weapons. Now, the other thing, of course, was Hillary was a shoo-in. I mean, nobody thought that Hillary was quite capable all by herself to snatch defeat out of the jaws of victory. No, she was a shoo-in. So unless Putin is clairvoyant, he too believed that Hillary was a shoo-in. So here I'm Putin. What percentage is there in saying, hey guys, this might be fun. See what you can find. Hack into the DNC. Who knows what will happen? It'll be a lot of fun. And she might get mad at us when she gets to be president, but she's always pretty mad at herself. What's to lose? Yeah, let's just for fun do that. It doesn't parse. So from a conceptual point of view, I had real problems buying the notion that there was a distinct preference for Trump over Hillary. In my view, Putin adopted the same attitude as my German friend. I was in Germany during the election, and that was really fun. And they used to talk about it, eine Wahl zwischen Pest und Cholera, okay? It was a choice between plague and cholera. So anyhow, thank God for Jill Stein. I could vote for her with a clear conscience. Now, as the election came out the way it did, you wouldn't believe, well, there was a big time PTSD here in Washington, big time. I speak about the HWHW virus that set in right after the election. That's the Hillary would have won virus, okay? And it could be that Hillary was a terrible candidate, that nobody trusted her. It couldn't be any of that. It had to be somebody else. It was the Russians, okay? Now, I'd like to show you a brief video clip. In introducing it, I have to tell you that we veteran intelligence professionals for sanity kept banging at the president. We kept sending him these open memos, and some of them he read, okay? And we kept saying, look, would you clear this Russian thing up before you leave? And 2 days before he did leave, namely the 18th of January, 2017, he got up and he said about the Russian hack, which we don't believe was a hack, but the Russian hack, we find inconclusive the intelligence community conclusions that there was a tie between the Russian hack, so-called, and WikiLeaks. He said, in effect, the intelligence community has no link as to how these hacks got to WikiLeaks. Well, hello. So 5 days after the election, I live in the Washington area, so it's kind of fun to go to these meetings. Here I am in Hillary and Podesta's think tank, so to speak.
Yeah.
So I'm here at this think tank, and who's speaking there but Adam Schiff, point man for Russiagate. And I had a chance to ask him a question. And we have a little video here. It takes all of 2 minutes. They didn't recognize me to ask the question. So I went up after to ask him, and I had no idea that the cameras were still running and the audio is still running. And lo and behold, C-SPAN captured it.
My name is Ray McGovern. I served in CIA under 7 presidents and 9 directors.
Well, thank you very much.
We have a little alumni group called Veteran Intelligence Professionals for Sanity, and we've been following this issue very closely. One of our members is the former technical director of NSA. I'm interested in 1 week ago when the president said this, I don't want to misquote him, the conclusions of the intelligence community with respect to Russian hacking were not conclusive regarding WikiLeaks. In other words, there's a big gap between alleged Russian hacking and WikiLeaks. The intelligence community does not know how or if that information, to the degree it exists, got to WikiLeaks. Now, you assert as flat fact that Russia did this. Do you know more than Obama?
Well, I would never claim to know more than Obama. I think he's a brilliant man.
No, it's
a serious question. I have every confidence in the intelligence of the Russian hacking of both the DNC as well as John Podesta.
James Clapper is a convicted.
You asked me a question. Do you want to hear the answer?
I will.
And while I can't go into the classified information, I have every confidence that the Russians used WikiLeaks, whether Julian Assange is a known participant or, as the Russians would describe, a useful idiot. That we will hopefully find out, but I don't have any confidence in the conclusions of the intelligence.
You have every confidence but no evidence, is that right?
No, I can't share the evidence with you.
Yeah.
That's bogus.
We couldn't share the evidence with me then, and sorry, folks, he can't share the evidence with us now. Here's a little secret. There isn't any evidence, all right? You know, we in Veteran Intelligence Professionals for Sanity are blessed with all manner of people with all kinds of expertise. With respect to NSA, we're particularly blessed because we have 2 former technical directors from NSA, and we have 2 other people who are expert in their own field. And Bill Binney is kind of the thought leader here, and he created some of the systems they're still using. And he long since concluded, like about 2 years ago, that if there was a Russian hack, NSA would ipso facto have it. I won't go into the gory details about this, but suffice it to say that I said, come on, Bill. You mean they collect everything? And he says, hey, I know it's hard to believe, but yes, they collect everything. But more recently, I said, well, does that mean that they have the emails that Hillary destroyed? Yeah, they have the email. Look, they have everything, right? They have everything. Even Dumbstruck, the FBI, CIA, counterintelligence guy, he assured his girlfriend, look, these texts, they can't get at these texts. You know, how's he feel now? I wonder what Lisa Page, his girlfriend, feels when they have all the texts from those conversations. So that's the basic thing here. Now, I have a little chart here that I would like to show now, and 12th of June, when Julian Assange announced that he had emails pertaining to Hillary Clinton. Well, suffice it to say that on the 14th, you can see what happened. CrowdStrike, that crackerjack outfit that James Comey of the FBI bowed to and said, you can do this forensics if you like. We don't want to do the forensics. That's something really to look at. They decided that they had been penetrated by Russians. And then, next day, 15th of June, this Guccifer 2.0 arises out of the ashes and says, yep, CrowdStrike is right. We did it. And we gave it to Julian Assange. Okay, guys, you want to believe that? I got a bridge where I used to live up there in Brooklyn. I'd like to sell you, all right? So that's how that thing all evolved, how they launched this major diversion activity. They were going to pin it when Julian Assange released those things, which, as we know, were released on July 22nd, 3 days before the convention. They were ready with their full bore propaganda campaign, full cooperation from the Times, the Washington Post, Wall Street, everyone, okay, saying, aha, why did the Russians do that? Why did the Russians do that? Why did the Russians do it? Well, unfortunately, didn't work. And they didn't stop. They kept trying to use this not only to show, as James Clapper, the head, the super, the imperial wizard of the intelligence community, right? Okay. He said in this book that he just put out that the Russians gave the election to Trump. Now, personally, I think that's about the worst thing anyone can accuse anybody of giving the election to Trump. Not only, it's pretty bad, I guess it's good that it's not true. But, you know, Clapper also is out of the old mode. He knows about Russians, you know. He said, and I quote, "Russians are almost genetically driven to lie, to deceitful things, to do all kinds of almost genetically driven." This guy's head of the intelligence community. This guy handpicks his word analyst to write a handpicked analysis, which is a disgrace to all intelligence analysis, former and current. So this is the guy that was instrumental in doing all this, he and John Brennan. And they did their best. Brennan actually was trying to get Obama to let him send his minions out to brief the people in the Electoral College so that they wouldn't vote the way they were supposed to vote. Now, there was a side benefit here, too. We talk about the military-industrial complex, and I think most of you know that Eisenhower wanted to say military-industrial congressional complex. I didn't let him say, well, that too much. But now it's the military-industrial congressional intelligence media complex. And the biggest addition there is the media. And I will say this, I always try to say this before I forget it, that I've been here, down here 55 years in Washington. I've seen a lot of change, right? Well, there's one change that dwarfs all the other changes, and that is we no longer have, in any real sense, a free media. And Mark is eloquent on that. And so the Fourth Estate is dead. It's dead. I used to say it was moribund, but now it's dead. And what do we have? Well, we have the ether. I don't know how real information comes down to this computer in the morning, but it does. And my plea to Americans, even Americans as old as I am, is to find out how you can get reliable information, okay? Now, I'd like to show one other video. It, again, this is very brief. It's about 1 minute. It shows Chairman Nunes, Devin Nunes from the Central Valley of California. He's a farmer and apparently thinks that oversight committee means that you exercise oversight over what the intelligence community is doing and not that you're an overlook committee where you let the intelligence community buy you off, okay? Now, this is very serious. This is no joke. This is Nunes having already collected from the FBI, Department of Justice, and other places enough evidence to show that this dossier that was paid for by the Clinton campaign, indirectly, of course, but this dossier that was brought to the president-elect on the 6th of January. Now, that meeting was structured for a very express purpose. Obama had promised before he left that he would serve up a considered judgment on Russian hacking, okay? So that was scheduled for actually the 5th, but then they delayed it to the 6th. And on the 3rd, some of you may remember that Rachel Maddow had Chuck Schumer on, you know, and the conversation went to the intelligence community. And Schumer said, you know, I know about this guy, Trump. You know, I thought he was bright businessman and all, but he's crossed the CIA. Now, that's a very foolish thing to do. People pay a price for crossing the CIA. Now, Rachel, expert interviewer that she is, immediately said, Senator Schumer, are you saying that an incoming president should be afraid of the CIA? Right. He didn't say anything like that. But here is Schumer's shot across the bow, okay? Trump, you're going to be briefed by the people who really hold the power in this town. Just be careful. You don't cross the intelligence community without paying a huge price. It's very, very foolish, in his words. So what happens? On the 6th of January, they bring this poor excuse for intelligence analysis saying, we assess this and we assess that and we assess the other thing, but we don't have any evidence. And besides, our assessments could be wrong. They say that right in the thing, right? We assess that Putin wanted Trump to win, you know, and so he did all this stuff, including hacking and all that kind of stuff. So then, by prearrangement, there was Clapper, head of the whole guru of the whole intelligence community, John Brennan, head of the CIA, Admiral Rogers from the NSA, and then James Comey of the FBI. Now, by prearrangement, James Comey said to the others, "Now, gentlemen, I have something very confidential to talk to the president-elect about. Could you leave the room, please?" Then he says, "Mr. President, we have this scurrilous and unconfirmed bunch of terrible things that this dossier that the British former agent has come up with. And we just want to let you know that we have it. And just so you know, okay? Because it's really, here's a couple pages, Justin. And, you know, it's going to hit the press in a couple of days. So we just want to let you know." Now, if I were Trump, I would have told him, "Mr. Comey, when you get back to the bureau, please clean out your desk, because the day I take office, you're out of there." This is standard intimidation techniques. A new president comes in, deep state lets them know who's in charge, okay? Now, all that is going to come out here in due course, but I wanted to show this last little clip to show someone who actually thinks the intelligence community should be doing some oversight and that he feels very strongly about it, and then we'll decide who's going to win this one. Can we show that little one-minute clip of Devin Nunes, head of the House Intelligence Committee?
With the Mueller investigation. As it relates to Department of Justice and the FBI, if they need to be put on trial, we will put them on trial. The reason that Congress exists is to oversee these agencies that we created. DOJ and FBI are not above the law. Congress created them, we oversee them, and we fund them. And if they're committing abuse for a secret court, getting warrants on American citizens, you're darn right that we're going to put them on trial.
What would you say is the takeaway?
I think people are just starting to learn now what really happened, because as we peel more and more of this, I think more and more Americans get educated, and I think they're going to demand that changes are made.
Wow. Okay. Let's talk about Devin Nunes. The smart money here in this town says he's done what Schumer warned about. The Senate is afraid of the intelligence community. That was clear when Haspel was nominated and confirmed. But Nunes does not seem to be appropriately afraid. So let me just finish with the prediction here that the issue is joined here. We have the beginning of a constitutional crisis because big stakes are involved. We're talking about people who could be tried and go to trial, right? Just like Nunes said, be put in jail. And they're not little people. The little people are probably doing their work in a conscientious way. We're talking about the head of the FBI, the deputy head of the FBI, Loretta Lynch, the attorney general, Rod Rosenstein, and two others, all of whom signed these fraudulent FISA requests for snooping on some of Trump's associates. So will he prevail? As I say, the smart money says no. The deep state always wins these kinds of things, particularly when it has the Senate in its pocket, and most particularly when it has the New York Times, the Washington Post, and the Wall Street Journal. So stay tuned. The rest of us are trying to get the honest word out. We're trying to show what a crock, as we say in the Bronx, Russiagate is. And we're making small gains, so there's no option to give up. We'll keep plugging in. I wish you all the best. Thanks for letting me talk.
And again, you were just listening to former CIA analyst and Russia expert Ray McGovern. His website is raymcgovern.com. And you can also search for Former Intelligence Professionals for Sanity to see the great work that they're doing. And this video and the others from the online conference, Deep Truth Visionaries Speak Out, can be found at the website deeptruth.info. So again, that's deeptruth.info. This concludes this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl. Thanks for listening.